Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today through our study, looking in the epistle of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking here at verse number 4, which says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Now, we've been looking in our last couple episodes at the issue of what exactly is the gospel message that has been given to us for this dispensation. We looked at how the gospel message for today is what's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, which speaks of the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how our belief in that and that alone is what gives individuals salvation today. And we've been looking at how Paul talks about how we, the members of the body of Christ, have been put in trust with this message. And then he goes and says, "Even so we speak." So he gets into the issue of the responsibility that we, as the members of the body of Christ, have to be going out and to be speaking this message to individuals. Because even though the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, even though it is here and all individuals have access to it, they need to hear this message in order to receive salvation. So we have a responsibility. We looked at how Paul identifies us as ambassadors, how he talks about how we have that ministry of reconciliation. All of those things which tie in with the responsibility that we have when it says, "Even so we speak." We need to be speaking this message because now is the time of salvation. We are to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have this responsibility. And that's why Paul can talk about it and says, "Even though we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And contrast this idea of the things that are being spoken and contrast that whole idea of what pleases man and what pleases God. Because the things that please man is always going to be the things that are contrary to what God would have an individual to be focusing on. And this is why you have the things that Paul starts to talk about when he looks at the ideas of what goes on with individuals. For example, we can look at a passage, like, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. When we look at, you know, this passage is going to be speaking about what happens with individuals towards the end of this dispensation. And it's something that we see today happening with people. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but of their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And we see this whole idea of that talk about mankind. It talks about how the times have come when mankind won't want to endure sound doctrine. They won't want to understand the message of the Word of God rightly divided, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And instead of wanting to hear that, you see it says, "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They're going to be looking for things that are going to be pleasing to them, things that are going to be entertaining to them, and those things are going to be everything that is going to be contrary to the sound doctrine that Paul tells us we're to be standing fast in. When he tells us to hold fast the form of sound words, those sound words is the sound doctrine that individuals will be pulling themselves away from. We see that today when assemblies are going away from the teaching of the Word of God, and instead just, well, we'll sing some songs and we'll do this praise and worship. You know, music has its place, but the sound doctrine needs to be taught in order for a person to be growing in the knowledge of the truth and doing the things that are pleasing to God. So let's go over to 1 Timothy, and we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we see how there's these things that individuals start focusing on here. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter number 1, which says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." And here we have Paul talking about the things that are taking away from, as he says, teach no other doctrine. That's the information that was given to the Apostle Paul, the information we find in Romans through Philemon. That's the charge that's given to individuals to be teaching this. And you see how he has to say there's some things that you're not to do. You're not to give heed to fables. You're not to be giving heed to these stories that are just going to be entertaining individuals. Or he says endless genealogies. That would be taking people into things of what Israel's program was all focused on, which is proving that they were part of the nation of Israel. And you see how that those things, it says, which minister questions. Now, it's not the questions themselves that are the problem, because when you're teaching sound doctrine, there will be questions that result from the sound doctrine. It's the questions that result when you're teaching things that don't line up with sound doctrine. When you're teaching the things that are the fables and endless genealogies. Because when those questions are coming up, those are going to be the things that just keep pulling people farther and farther away from teaching the things of sound doctrine. And as they're being pulled farther and farther away, the individual is being taken to the point of where when they finally start hearing the sound doctrine, it's not going to be what they want to hear because they've been hearing all these other things that have been entertaining them in that manner. That's why you see Paul, you'll say things like, for example, what he says further on in this same epistle, we'll go to chapter number 4. And you see how Paul has to give this warning about the things that are pleasing to individuals here. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter number 4, it says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So there's these things that he's having to say. You're going to have to refuse these things. You're going to have to want to be away from these things, not have them be part of who you are, because those things are going to result in something, and the result that's going to come from them is what we see if we go over to Titus chapter number 1, and you see another warning that Paul gives related to this, and you see why it is that he has to say this, because in verse number 14 of Titus chapter number 1, we read, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." The whole idea of all of these things is to keep someone away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. Keeping people away from the sound doctrine that they need to hear. And this is why, you know, the word of God needs to keep being preached. It's the word of God that's going to have the impact. It's the word of God which produces faith in the life of an individual. It's none of these other things that people rely on. It's not, as Paul warned, for example, over in the book of Colossians, when he starts talking about the traditions of men know, because traditionalism isn't going to pull someone into the truth of what God's word would say. Because traditionalism is going to be going things with, you know, this is what man is teaching. And the things that are go along with man's teaching, none of that is going to ever line up with what God's word says, because we know who it is that's governing the things that are related to what man teaches. We see that if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, and we see where Paul talks about the things of this world here in Ephesians chapter number 2. And here we're going to read verse number 2, and it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And Paul's identifying an individual, calling him the prince of the power of the air, and saying that the things that are according to this world, the things that would line up with the fables, the things that would line up with the traditions of men, all of those different things that are pleasing to individuals, all that's according to the prince of the power of the air. He's talking about Satan and how Satan is actually functioning during this dispensation. And individuals have really, unfortunately, taken the wrong approach to what they think Satan is trying to do. Because they'll look at it and say, well, Satan is trying to take people and, you know, have them do all these bad behaviors. And, you know, every bad behavior that they see out in this world, they'll say, you know, that's Satan influencing people to do these things. You know, that's not where Satan is actually functioning today. How Satan is actually functioning, we can see that. And Paul gives us the warning about how Satan functions in this dispensation. When we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we see Paul actually write about what's going on here with Satan, as he begins the chapter and talks about how, you know, the subtlety that Satan uses, in contrast it with what happened to Eve and the beguilements that occurred with Eve in the garden. We, you know, when you go back into Genesis 3, you see how that beguilement is, because what he does is he says, "Hath God said?" You know, he questions what the word of God is. You know, he doesn't function in a way to say, "Well, you know what? You know, look how beautiful that fruit is, and you'll go ahead and eat it." He asks, "You know, what did God command you to do related to that?" And Eve answers. And you see the fall that happens as a result of not understanding what God had instructed them to do. Now we see, if we go further down here in the chapter, we're going to pick up here in verse number 13 of 2 Corinthians 11. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." What Satan does is he doesn't function to try to pull people into all these bad behaviors where individuals would say that this is sin. He pulls people into, you know, here's what, you know, God wants you to do, and he appears as an individual of righteousness, and in this dispensation, getting people to be functioning not according to the dispensation of the grace of God, but functions in a matter of, say, you know, the way that God wants you to demonstrate the righteousness that you have, or the only way you can get righteous with God is by keeping his commandments, by doing the law, by the performance of an individual, not on the reliance of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary, which is what the Apostle Paul tells us, that that's the only way that we can be righteous, is because it's not anything of us. It's his righteousness that's actually the issue. But Satan appears as that minister of righteousness, teaching individuals what appears to be good. And you see that in individuals who, you know, appear to be teaching things that are, you know, godly. Individuals who identify themselves as Christian, but when you actually listen to what they're teaching, you realize that what they're teaching doesn't line up with what the scriptures would actually say an individual is supposed to be doing. And what they're teaching is all pleasing to man, but it would never please God because it's not what God actually intends to be taught. And this is why you see this whole battle related to the wisdom of things. We can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 to see where Paul gets into this discussion related to these things of wisdom here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6, and we're going to read all the way through to the end of the chapter here. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And we see Paul making that declaration of the fact that we have the mind of Christ, and we know that we have the mind of Christ because we have a completed word of God which we can rely on, a completed word of God which is giving us the instructions that we need for this dispensation. And you see how Paul contrasts in the early part of this thing the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. And it's talking about how the fact that we do not communicate the things that are the wisdom of man, because you see how God talks about the things that are the wisdom of man, and he never talks about those things in a positive manner. And unfortunately, the things that are of the wisdom of this world, the things that are the wisdom of man, is what really comes out of so many individuals today. That's why you can have the Lord Jesus Christ talk about over in the Gospels in Matthew chapter number 12 when he says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." That what's inside of an individual is what's going to come out of them. So if an individual has the things that are the wisdom of this world, the things that are the wisdom of man, and that's what's inside of them, that's what's going to come out of them. That's going to be everything that they're going to be relying on for themselves. That's why Paul has to give the instructions that he gives to individuals related to the study of God's word, to the intake of the wisdom of God. So that way, what he's talking about here in chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians, can happen, that the spirit can communicate with the spirit that's inside of us, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, giving us the insight into the things that are of the Word of God, and you can only get that insight into what's contained in the Word of God by studying the Word of God. It's not a thing of, I can't study man's philosophy and get a better understanding of the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. Individuals think that it does. Individuals try to put their own spin on what God's Word says. And that will never give a person insight, because the only way you can get insight is by the Spirit communicating to you what the Word of God says. This is why he has to give this instruction here. And let's go to Romans chapter number 12, to where we're going to see Paul actually give an instruction about what has to occur in the life of an individual. We're going to read the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now an individual has to have that renewing of the mind occurring in order for them to actually be able to understand what God's Word says. And the only way that they're going to have this renewing of the mind occurring is by the Word of God being taken in. That's the only thing that can actually renew the mind. The things that are pleasing to men can never renew the mind, because the things that are pleasing to men are going to be the things that Satan wants preached. That's the wisdom of man. The wisdom that you see Paul actually talk about. Well, I go back over to 1 Corinthians now, but we're going to go to chapter number 1, to where we're going to see Paul say some things here. And when I start, we're going to read verse 18, and then we're going to go farther down in the chapter here. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but not unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, the things that are pleasing to God is the preaching of the cross. You know, that's why it's foolishness unto those that perish, because those that perish are functioning according to the things that are pleasing to men. You see, as he continues on further down in this chapter, we'll pick up in verse number 21. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. So he's talking about how Israel needed these sign gifts, and that's what they were looking for. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. So the Greeks are looking at the wisdom of man. You know, that's why you see all the philosophy that comes about coming out of Greece, because this is where their focus was on, you know, all the things that man could come up with. And then Paul takes his, but we preach Christ crucified. So what we're preaching, the Jesus Christ being preached according to the preaching of the cross, which he made a reference to a few verses up, that's the what we are preaching. And it's going to curse unto the Jews a stumbling block. So the Jews aren't receiving that if they were looking for a sign. Unto the Greeks foolishness, you know, because it's not the wisdom of man, you know, so it appears to be foolish. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, no matter how wise man thinks they are, it is nothing but foolishness in the eyes of God. You know, this is why anything that he says, when he said not as pleasing men, because the things that are pleasing to man in a manner where they're just looking for the entertainment to come about, all of those things are going to be according to the wisdom of man, which is going to be contrary to the things of God. Now, in our next episode, we're going to shift from the things that were pleasing unto man and start talking about the things that are pleasing unto God, and why the gospel of the grace of God is truly the thing that is pleasing to God in this dispensation. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they're being broadcast on there. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option that is available with that. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you ever hear in any of our other messages, or anything you ever see on our website, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from each and every one of you as you are studying the Word of God and continuing to grow in the knowledge of what God's Word says for you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.